has changed many, many people in the past, and until now it changes many people. It's from the Gospel of St. Mark, because this incident is very, very likely to be with St. Mark himself. Very likely that this young man that approached the Lord was St. Mark, because of the details and because of the way he put himself down in modesty. That he said one person, even didn't mention anything about himself, and he spoke of himself backing off, despite that he returned back, of course, with great glory. The story is that the Lord was walking on the street, and a young man approached him and fell on his knees in front of him and said, "Good teacher, teach me how to inherit the kingdom of heaven." He was rich and young, he must have inherited money from his family. So he used to inherit things, to receive things. And the idea of taking things on earth and taking things in heaven came to his mind. On earth I live as rich, and then eventually I inherit the kingdom of heaven. Then the Lord was very gentle to him. He didn't shock him by this idea of selling his possessions. He just told him, keep the commandments. Then he said, I did. Which very likely he was not lying. He did. He lived a pious life. Then the Lord loved him. And when the Lord loved someone, he'd say to him, sell everything and come. Because the Lord knows what will be the consequences. When you sell everything and follow the Lord knows what are the consequences. Then when he loves someone, he say to him, go and sell everything. And at that time he couldn't, because he was very rich and young, and it was shocking for him. Usually this call is to be responded to after some time. Very hard to get that shock, someone telling you sell everything and you implement that on the spot. It takes some time until the Lord speaks to your heart and give you the confidence. Then many people did. Many people did sell everything and follow the Lord. And then there was a bit of discussion, because the man that's rich looked as if he backed off. Then the Lord said how hard it is for rich people to take decisions of similar to that. And the disciples got astonished from this harsh reality. If we are rich, we have no chance. Then the Lord lessened it a little bit and saying that hard for those who rely on the money. Because there are many saints that were rich, like Abraham. The Lord enriched him and he was saint. So it's the idea of thinking that the money will save me, the money will help me, or my possession, or my education, or my health, or my connections will help me. All these are ideas coming to us in a very foolish way. And St. Peter said to the Lord with honesty, we left everything, we followed you, what's our share? Then the Lord said, whoever leaves anything or anyone for my sake and for the gospel's sake, then he'll receive 100-fold back and eternal life. Anyone that sacrifices children or possessions, money or wife or father or mother will receive 100-fold on earth and will receive eternal life. And the message is for all of us, the concept of sacrifice. I thought to speak about sacrifice. In our church, in the prayer of the Mass, we use the word offering. I personally do not like the word offering, but I don't like to change the English translation that says offering, because there is great difference between an offering and sacrifice. The original word in Arabic was tathiyat, dahayam. What's the difference between sacrifices and offering? The offering can be big or large depending on your capability. But the sacrifice is also depending on it. Like the 2 mites, for example, of that we do, was a big, big sacrifice, but very small offering. So the sacrifice is very important to be kept in our life. To follow the Lord, you need to sacrifice. To show your love to the Lord, you need to sacrifice. Without sacrifice, the concept of sacrificing to the Lord, our relationship with God becomes very, very cold and very weak. There are a few things that I like you to understand. Number one is that through sacrifices, your love to the Lord becomes very strong, and the love of the Lord to you becomes very strong. The more you sacrifice, the more the love becomes strong. This concept people escape from because of their selfishness. They don't like to sacrifice. They like to receive, no offering, no giving. I just receive. I don't like to get rid of something that I enjoy for the sake of others. Despite that, it is the shortest way to the heart of God, is the sacrifice. And the strongest response you receive is sacrifice. Some people say, we don't see much from God. People tell us stories, how the Lord did with them miracles, and how the Lord responded to them. Why not me? The answer is that you don't sacrifice. It's impossible that you make a big sacrifice and you don't see the response almost immediately. It's impossible. The love towards the Lord and the love of the Lord towards us becomes much, much stronger by the way of sacrifice. Even with people, if a person is sacrificing his comfort for you, or sacrificing his money for you, or his position for you, what type of love will be developing in your heart towards this person? The love of the mothers towards their children is amazing. Why? Because of the sacrifice. The mother sacrifices her bones, her calcium, her, when the child is born, 3 kilos, 4 kilos, where from? From the protein of the mother, from her calcium, from her health. When the mother starts feeding her body, her milk, to the baby, what happens? Her hair drops, her teeth become weaker, her bones become weaker. The offering of self makes the mother adore this kid. And the kid also will love his mother the same. So, the more you sacrifice to the Lord, the more your love to him becomes stronger, and his love to you becomes stronger. Another thing is that you'll have a capital in his bank. You'll have an account in his bank by your offering, and you can draw on it. You develop confidence. Marisha always speak about some people have in their conscious confidence that I'm not going to be let down. I'm not going to be let down. Impossible. The Lord is impossible to let me down. He is God. Where do they get this confidence from? From sacrifice. If you make a big sacrifice, you'll never be let down. The first week for me at St. Mark Church as a priest, someone came to the altar to speak to me. And he said to me how financially he is broke and suffering. And I kept thinking all the mass, how can I help him? Should I speak to someone to give me some finance to support the man? How can I help him? Because he was in a miserable situation. And then the mass finished, and I was giving kilometer baraka. And he came and gave me a check, I don't remember, 20,000 or something like that. And he said, that's for Amba Abraham Church. I don't remember the figure, maybe 10,000, 20,000, a figure big. Then I told him, he just told me half an hour ago that you are financially struggling. He said, because of that. Because I don't make sacrifice. I hesitated to take it. But after 1 week, exactly, I think even less, the next time I saw him, he came with a letter. He's actually a builder. And he had a project that the council stopped it for months and months. And he received the acceptance in that week. And he started a big project. And out of that, he gained a lot of money. And he told me, see, Father, that's, we've seen that hundreds of times in different ways. There's one person, you may have known this story before. He was living in the West in a big house. And he lost his wife, and his children grew up and got married. And they told him, "Dad, we don't need anything from your possessions. They are very well off." Then he thought that, "What can I do with a big house? I'll sell it and start to build a church." And he did. He sold the whole house and got the money and spoke to one of the priests that I like to build a church. And because there was no bishop in Sydney at that time, the priest got shocked by what can he do with this huge money. He spoke to Pope Shenouda. And Pope Shenouda told him, "Yes, take the money, start making a church, build a church." And then when Pope Shenouda came and stayed here in St. Mark, in the unit upstairs, he told us, "I'd like to meet this man." That man, I took him to the Pope. He stayed with him half an hour, and the Pope took him and made him live as a monk in St. Bishui Monastery. He was in his 70s, late 70s, maybe. Very healthy and very strong man, and I'm not sure if he's still living or not. But the idea is that, look at this ending of his life. To live as a monk after having children and living for the Lord the rest of his life in the joy of the kingdom of heaven. Sacrifices that are made to the Lord are never to be regretted. You never regret a sacrifice that you make to the Lord, because the Lord is very rich. Any person that makes a big sacrifice for the sake of the Lord, always it is returning back to you. Sacrifices are the highest level of showing your loyalty. The highest sacrifice is martyrdom. You offer your life. There's nothing higher than that. And many, many people over the history did that. Just last year, these young people that came from Upper Egypt with very limited education, they were working in Libya as laborers, and they were captured by some Muslim fanatics, and they start torturing them, and they give them a promise that they release them if they just say one sentence, which is the Islamic announcement, La ilaha illallah. You just say this and you get released. They didn't. They tortured them, and all of them died after a number of days. But none of them buckled under the pressure. The highest level of sacrifice is yourself, your body, your soul, to be given for the sake of the Lord. Lower than that, a little bit, but still very, very high, is to live for the Lord celibate. As the Lord says, that if you sacrifice a wife, no family, nothing, just for the Lord. It's very, very touchy when you see a young lady or young man offering himself that, "I don't get attached to anything of this world. My partner is God. My love is for Christ, and that's it." And many, many did that. When the Catholic Pope visited Australia, I was shocked to know that there are 7,000 nuns in Australia. 7,000 nuns. We say that this country is in the hand of Satan. It's not. There are 7,000 young girls that love Christ more than the whole world. And they said to him, "We love you more than the world. We don't like to be attached to man. You are our spouse." Higher than that is to sacrifice your work and job to work for the Lord. And the Buddhist told us a story, some of you were there to listen to it a few days ago, that he was a doctor, and he was actually a surgeon, and he was the only surgeon in the village that he was living in. So his income was very, very high, being the only surgeon in the village. His family are very, very rich people. So they told him, "Until when you stay in Egypt, go do fellowship in London. But he needed to pass exams. So he went, he's very clever, he passed the exam from a first attempt. So he succeeded. And they started giving money for him to start doing fellowship in London. But after that, he went back to Egypt and met Abba Mikhail. Abba Mikhail told him, "When will you resign?" He said, "Why? I'm serving the Lord full time. All the time, 24 hours I'm serving the Lord." He told him, "When will you resign?" He said, "I'm serving the Lord. I work as a doctor, have income, and I'm serving the Lord." Then he told him, "You know that you are like Humar carrying Sabakh. Sabakh is the dirt of..." He said, "You are like Humar carrying on your back very dirty thing, and you don't observe. You don't know. You don't know that you are carrying this." He went, started crying until midnight, and at midnight he made the decision. He resigned and lived for the Lord. And the rest of his life. And the man has high, high rank in the eyes of God. We know that. We know that through the miracles that he does. There are a number of people that came to me and said to me, miracles that happened since his arrival. And every time, every arrival, every visit of this man, some miracles happen, and we know that. We are not exaggerating, we are not imagining. And this actually expected for that type of sacrifice. To live the luxury, and live the joy of having money and family and the children and position. Imagine that had he stayed in London, he would be now definitely a multimillionaire in one of the Western world as a very successful surgeon with a lot of money, a lot of riches, but he opted to be beaten in black Africa sometimes to develop diseases and stay there to witness the Lord. That's a type of sacrifice. Know that it is the nature of Christ. Who is the sacrifice? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Egypt, the Muslims have a major feast called the Eid al-Dahiyya. Who is the Dahiyya? Dahiyya is the sacrifice. The feast of the sacrifice. Who is the sacrifice? Well, I always used to say to a Muslim friends when I was at school, in a cunning way, why is that big feast? They call it the big feast. They say 4 days of work, the big feast, the highest feast is the sacrifice. What is the sacrifice? Is it ba'ra? Is that the sacrifice? That they should celebrate 4 days? It's the big feast. Christ is the sacrifice. And that's his nature. And if you don't have the concept of sacrifice for sake of the Lord, understand that you are almost excluding yourself from the highest ranks in the eye of God. It's good to keep the commandments, good to be good. But when the Lord loves you, he says to you, make sacrifice. What type of sacrifice I do? You can sacrifice dignity for sake of the Lord. You can, of course, sacrifice money. You can sacrifice positions. Some people sacrifice positions because they don't like to be under pressure of not serving the Lord. I know many people living in Sydney that deny themselves promotion. Because if they get promoted, then they get no time for serving the Lord. So they stop. There are many people that stopped higher education. He said, no, enough is enough. I like to serve the Lord. There are many people that sacrifice their health. They get exposed to diseases because of their love to patients, and they do that. There are many people that sacrifices their comfort. There are many people that encourage. They go and witness to the Lord in different places in the world rather than any type of sacrifice, even the sacrifice of coming early to the church on Sunday, it will be rewarded. Any sacrifice that you get out of your bed, stand in the middle of the night, speak to the Lord, it will be rewarded. The promise of the 100-fold is always happening. May the Lord strengthen our church with many sacrifices. I wouldn't forget something very touchy that will happen on this coming Saturday. The two brother doctors, you know them, will be sacrificing their career and success in this world after long studies and after high achievement. People die to get high marks, to get to medicine, and then after that they die to study and get fellowship and things like that. Both of them did that. Both of them lived with a lot of success. But as St. Paul spoke of Moses and all that, he considered this nothing. Moses denied himself the luxury of being the daughter, son of the daughter of Pharaoh, rather to be humiliated with the people in serving and being among the people. Or St. Paul, when he said that, I consider this rubbish. I consider this success on earth rubbish compared to the glory of serving the Lord. This will be on this Saturday. We'll have a prayer meeting for them. Then we'll serve in Wollongong Church. It's a small church, small number of families, but there is great, great potential of evangelism. And Paul will serve in the entrance. There's a church there. And there's possibility to buy another church for dwelling. And there's great, great chance of evangelism. 10 days ago, a group of youth went there in the entrance. They just advertised that if anyone would like to come from the area, I understand that 20 people came from different nationalities and they were impressed by the Coptic Church. People are hungry, hungry to know something about Christ. The Coptic Church came to this continent not to serve a number of Copts and then we die. The Coptic Church came to be light in this continent. Our youth are capable to do that. Our youth, when they speak about Christ anywhere, they move the hearts. But of course, they can do nothing by themselves alone. They need helping hands. And I'm giving this invitation to all of you. I spoke to Uncle Magdi, and Uncle Magdi said, by all means, if any servant that serves at St. Mark like to shift his or her service to one of these areas, speak to me, I will start. Because we need an army of servants to be concentrating in the North Coast and the South Coast. And Anba Daniel is giving this chance for us by all his might and all his prayers and all his genuine feeling that he loves this to happen. It's very experimental. But we trust God. We trust God that this is possible. The energy of these young people is much more than serving 20 families. Where that energy will be? Will be in evangelism. I have hope in God that this will be a start of additional things to other areas, that young people who have the courage to trample on this world and consider themselves ready for this big, big sacrifice and the courage. It needs courage. It needs a person that has a vision towards God. It needs a person that trusts God. And if you trust God, you'll never be let down. Who trusted God and followed him and was let down? When did it ever happen? He wouldn't be God. He wouldn't be God if he let you down, if you throw yourself on his love. We'll have a prayer meeting for them on Monday, and Boulis will be with us to pray that the Lord will flourish the service. They are not belonging to St. Mark Church. they are belonging to, of course, Rambakchesh will be a lot of effort to help, as we always do, but I just explain that their main service will be in these different places, but we encourage the servants from St. Mark to go and serve in this place. Even the priest from St. Mark, we decided to do that. Will be because there is a small community that needs Arabic in these two areas. So the at least the two priests that can speak Arabic, myself and Abuna Jonas and myself, will be praying there every now and then, just for the people that need something in Arabic. But of course the main thrust is the children and the Australian around us and other nationalities. Especially that the two places have universities, have campuses. So university is a wonderful place to start service. But I repeat that they cannot do things by themselves alone. They need helping hand. They need also helping donation. They need buses. They need drivers. They need Bible studies, they need visitation. So may the Lord accept our prayers and reward them and their families. Among the things is when you say you sacrifice a son or a daughter, what does it mean? Something like that. That my son, my daughter, who are very highly educated, very bright, I sacrifice them happily to see them servants of the Lord with great joy. I remember when Abuna Anthony went to the monastery, he was very young, and it was his birthday. And I had the pressure of taking him from home to take him to the monastery. I went shivering out of fear from his parents, because they didn't know. They didn't know. It was his birthday, they were making for him a birthday party. And I went to take him from home to put him in the monastery forever. And they knew possibly half an hour before I arrived. I looked at with tremendous fear what they are going to do with me. They were crying, but with joy. They said, that's the least we can do for the sake of the Lord. That our son that we love and adore, the sweet son, we give him to the Lord. The Lord is worthy to take anything from us. It's a nice feeling, strong feeling. May the Lord implant that in your heart for yourself and for your children and the grandchildren, that never hesitate one day to offer anything to the Lord in joy, because that's the day of the sacrifice. As the Lord said, that whoever sacrifices it, son, daughter, father, mother, wife, houses for my sake, will receive 100-fold and eternal life. Glory be to his name forever. Amen.